The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 22nd chapter. Again, Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son, and sent his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding feast, but they would not come. Again, he sent other servants, saying, 'Tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast.' But they paid no attention and went off, one to his farm, another to his business, while the rest seized his servants, treated them shamefully, and killed them. The king was angry, and he sent his troops and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding feast is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go therefore to the main roads and invite to the wedding feast as many as you find.' And those servants went out into the roads and gathered all whom they found, both bad and good. So the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to look at the guests, he saw there a man who had no wedding garment. And he said to him, 'Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding garment?' And he was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, 'Bind him hand and foot and cast him into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen.' This is the word of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Again, Jesus spoke to them in parables. Again, to them. The text from Matthew this morning continues what we've heard the past 2 weeks. It was just days before Jesus was crucified. On Monday morning, he entered the temple to teach, and the chief priests and the Pharisees and the elders of the people had confronted him concerning his words and actions. They demanded to know by what authority he was doing these things, and who had given him this authority. You'll remember that Jesus responded, "I'll answer your question if you first answer mine. The baptism of John, from where did it come, from heaven or from man?" When the leaders refused to answer, Jesus said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things." But that wasn't the end of the matter. Jesus went on to tell the parable of the father who asked his 2 sons to work in his vineyard. One said no, but later went. The other said, "Yes, sir," but didn't go. "You," Jesus was telling the leaders, "you are the second son. You say you're committed to the Lord, but by your actions you tell a very different tale." He continued then with the parable of the noble vineyard owner and the wicked tenants. Once again, he was warning the leaders that by their plans, by their determination to kill the heirs so that the vineyard could be theirs, they were bringing destruction on themselves. Matthew tells us the leaders recognized Jesus was speaking about them in these parables. He was urging them to turn from their wicked plans. He was pleading with them to desist, lest they be destroyed. He was calling them to repent and seek the Lord, but they were not willing. Jesus continues his pleading and warning in today's parable of a king who gives a wedding feast for his son. Once again, as was the case with the vineyard in the previous 2 parables, Jesus draws upon an image of God's kingdom very familiar from Israel's history. This isn't just any splendid banquet. This banquet is the consummation of all God's promises, the full realization of his kingdom. It is that of which Isaiah prophesied, a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine, of rich food full of marrow, of aged wine well refined. Plans had been made. Invitations had gone out. Commitments had been received. "I will attend," Many weeks of preparation were now nearing completion. The aromas from the kitchen and from the meat being roasted over fires in the courtyard were enticing. Only a few short hours, and everything would be ready to be served. So the king sent out his servants to call the guests. "The feast is ready. Come to the feast. Join me in celebration." The event of the century was about to begin. But when the servants called those who had been invited, they would not come. This was a calculated insult, a conspiracy among those who had been invited to ruin the king's banquet and cause all he had prepared to go to waste. But amazingly, the king didn't lash out. Instead, he sent other servants with the message, "See, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast." They, however, add injury to insult. Not only do they again refuse to come, they abuse and even execute the servants the king had sent. The king had been gracious and merciful. He had been patient beyond reason. Finally, though, even he has had enough. He sends his troops to destroy the murderers and burn their city. Of course, this isn't merely a parable, because by and large, the leaders and the people they led refused to repent. Not more than two generations after Jesus spoke, this is exactly what happened. Roman troops came, destroyed Jerusalem, and leveled the temple in a great slaughter. It will not do to presume on the Lord's patience. When he calls to you, when he invites you to receive the gifts he has prepared for you, it is a dangerous thing to say, "I'm not really interested. I have other things to do right now, things more important than hearing your word and having my sins washed away, being fed at your table and receiving forgiveness." And yet, isn't that precisely the choice that you and I repeatedly make? God would nourish you daily through his word. He invites you to come into his presence. But when it comes to a choice between television or daily devotions, which do your actions say is more important to you? God wants us to hold his word sacred and to gladly hear and learn it. You may not mistreat the Lord's servants. You certainly haven't killed any of his messengers. But do you always receive his word with joy and gladness? Do you hunger and thirst for it? Do you enjoy communion with him so much that you can't wait for the next time you get to be with him? Ours is not a pretty picture, is it? The Lord graciously invites us to come to him and receive his blessings. And all too often we behave like those whom the king invited to the wedding banquet for his son. Thus you and I have earned the Lord's wrath, deserved death and hell. But that's not the whole message of the parable. The food had been prepared. There was a feast to be eaten. So the king sent out his servants to call people in off the streets, to tell them, "The feast is ready, come to the feast." No one was exempted. The servants were to call the bad and the good, the least and the greatest. The king wanted them to be glad, wanted them to celebrate with him. And so, though the invited guests had refused to come, nevertheless, the wedding hall was filled. The feast of salvation in the Lord's kingdom will not be a bust. There will be a great crowd. A crowd that will include both the bad and the good, all of them sinners. So what determines who will join in the feast? A wedding garment. St. Paul writes that all who were baptized into Christ have put on Christ, have been clothed with Christ. How does he do that? With just a little water, along with a few words. But more happens in this water and word than meets the eye. It is a miracle. By the washing of water with the word, you were sanctified. Through the water with the word, according to our Lord's promise, you have been made holy and without blemish, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. God did that for you when you were baptized into Christ. Through his prophet Isaiah, the Lord says, "Come now, let us reason together. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool." Even though you have been marked, or more accurately, even though you have marked yourself with sin's indelible stain, in Jesus' blood, the stain of sin is washed away. It disappears. Through holy baptism, by the word of absolution, by the proclamation of the gospel, with his true body and blood in the Holy Supper, Jesus forgives those who come to him. You sin over and over again. That's true. But Jesus forgives you over and over and over and over by his perfect life, by his dedication to God's word, by his custom of hearing the word proclaimed and praying the Psalms and wielding the word to defend himself against Satan's tempting. Jesus has kept the law in your place. In him, in his perfect obedience, and his innocent suffering and death, your sins are made as white as snow. They have become like wool. For through faith in Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, you have washed your robe and made it white in the blood of the Lamb. The blood of Jesus, God's Son, cleanses you from all sin. And not only are you thus a welcome guest at the wedding feast of the King's Son, you are the guest of honor. For all who believe and are baptized have been gathered into the church of God, which is the bride of Christ. You have been called by God. You have been chosen. And so by his mercy and grace, you will join in the Lord's feast of salvation. Death tried to swallow up the Lord Jesus on Calvary, but in trying to devour him, death itself has been swallowed up. Therefore, in the end, the Lord God will wipe away every tear from your face, and with all your fellow redeemed, you will respond with great joy, "Behold, this is our God. We have waited for him that he might save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation." Be glad. Rejoice in the Lord's salvation, for it is his gift to you. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting. Amen.